This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You can try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com.
Awesome. We'll just shoot the shit and see what happens.
Exactly. Today on the show, I am joined by someone who has turned a backyard hobby into a thriving business. Joining the show after we heard from her in Denver at Smart Marketer is Celia Hatch from Buff Clux. Celia, welcome to the unofficial Shopify podcast.
Hi. Thanks, Kurt. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And you're here because I am fascinated by a pet supplement business, I think is very interesting. The things that make a successful business, right? We found our solves a pain or problem, probably started in your own life, and adding to it a consumable good that you could sell on subscription. Those are really nice businesses to have. And you're in the supplement space, but not for people, for chickens. You are trying to get a really like roided up chickens, Buff Clux. Like, what are we, when we say supplements for chickens, what is it you sell?
So our supplement is purely herbs and botanicals. There are supplements on the market that are a little bit more pharmaceutical, medicated type supplements. Ours, it's just loose leaf herbs and botanicals that have really great kind of homeopathic medicinal properties. And these are kind of like time-tested traditional medicine that our grandmothers and their grandmothers trusted to help with keeping chickens healthy.
How old is Buff Clux? When did this start?
Okay, so there's different timelines here because it started, I actually had a dream about it in 2022. And like, we have our own chickens. We put these different herbs and things into our chickens' feed. And I was kind of like, I dreamed that I put them all together and made a business out of it. And it was called Chicken Spice.
And Chicken Spice.
I woke up.
Chicken Spice sounds like, you know, seasoning for chickens after the fact.
It was like real self was super critical of dream self. Like, I woke up and I was like, what kind of SEO has this girl ever done? What does she think is going to happen if somebody searches chicken spice? But dream self.
Yeah, it sounds like they're looking for the Colonel's secret recipe.
Yeah, for sure. And anyway, so I kind of like had that in my back pocket of like, God, that's a great business idea. And then my son, when he was 13, this was in probably 2023. He had to put a project together for school and at their school. It's kind of like an internship. They have to come up with something that they just feel passionate about learning. It can be literally anything. Like, for his project, he wanted to learn how to start a business. So we made him like a sheet that was like a checkbox of like, does it do this? Can, you know, is it seasonal? How much money do you have to start it? Do you have to have a car to go do this thing? Because he was 13. And every business idea he had, we'd have him run through this checklist. And his deadline was like looming where he had to turn in his project idea and he was panicking. And I was like, how about chicken spice?
The last minute idea. Okay. Chicken supplements.
And he was like, oh, everybody's going to think I'm like a farmer and obsessed with chickens.
A 13-year-old, the worst thing that can happen to them is someone finds out they're interested in something.
I know. Heaven forbid. Well, I'm like, we've had his friends, like while he was doing this, like we have them come over and help him do some parts of it. And they were always so excited about the chickens. So it's not really an embarrassing thing, but to the person that's 13, I guess it is highly embarrassing.
When you're in middle school, it's different.
Everything is embarrassing. So anyway, he ended up like him and I working on that as his school project and working with different like poultry vets and helping teach him kind of these different parts of the R&D aspect of like starting a business that's a product. And by the end of the school year, he had made $500 by peddling herbs in little craft bags that he just kind of wrote Buff Clucks on and just kind of like gave them to teachers that had chickens that were willing to give him some cash. And that was his first foray into peddling herbs at school, and hopefully his last, if you catch my drift. But anyway, so when he was done with his project, he was kind of like, I don't really want to keep doing this. And I was like, well, I will continue the project for you. So he is currently our social media guy. He does all the social media and gets to get paid for doing a job that he started to help start the business for. And so that was the origin story of it. The actual real start, like once we kind of cleaned it up and made it like an adult professional business, not in craft bags and
not delivered on bike.
Stopped delivering on bike. And we started running Meta ads January of 24.
Okay. And so at what point did you build a Shopify store for this?
We built our, honestly, it took a minute, Kurt. You're not going to like to hear that. It took us a minute. We let him keep, so our first website was a Wix website that my son built as part of his project.
Ew.
And we let that live for a while. And then we still actually do our customer acquisition through kind of the old school Russell Brunson style, like click funnel style page. So we use Funnelish for that on the front end. And then that syncs up with Shopify. So we built our Shopify store. It's probably been a year ago.
The idea came in a dream, which is amusing, validated by a middle school project, And then as a serial entrepreneur, you could not resist this catnip. You had to do it, didn't you?
It was putting all of America's chickens at risk if I didn't.
Did it? Yes, we have to help the chickens. Tell me, okay, backyard chickens. My HOA forbids it. I have not personally seen a backyard chicken before, but I've heard about this. What is I bet you have stats. What is like market reach of backyard chickens?
Yeah. So, okay, pre-COVID, 8% of American households had chickens. During COVID, it jumped up to about 10%. Currently, COVID and the avian flu and food prices and everything else, we are sitting at about 13% of American households currently have backyard chickens or chickens.
That's quite a few.
It's a lot. It's actually a pretty big market. But our market shrinks down a little bit when you take into account people that really treat their chickens as pets and are willing to basically double the cost of chicken feed by buying our product. So, these are definitely the people that like build those really bougie coops. These are the people that put swing sets and jungle gyms in the chicken coop. Yes, this is a thing. There's a huge market for chicken toys. And if you've never seen a chicken on a swing, you've got to go Google that. Find it.
I haven't, but
okay, yeah,
immediately
you're gonna have to Google a lot for
I was
it.
Pretty thrilled at the idea of chicken playground.
Yeah. Oh, it's super cute. It's like you can just watch chickens playing all day. They're very, very therapeutic. So you like can go, especially this time of year with like leaves, like my backyard right now, like I could just sit back there with like a coffee and a comfy chair and my chickens are scratching the leaves and it makes the best noise.
Maybe I'll flaunt the HOA's rules and get some chickens. You're really selling me on it. So there's a painter problem we're trying to solve here. Normally, you know, if I'm doing it the wrong way, how am I feeding my chickens? What do they get?
Okay, so most chicken owners, you'll go to a farm supply store and you'll buy a big bag of chicken feed. There's different types that are like, hey, my chickens lay eggs. I need layer feed. Hey, I'm raising my chickens for meat. I get broiler feed. Hey, like there's different ages of chickens, different stages, whether they're laying eggs, they're young, they're roosters. So most chicken owners will buy like a all flock kind of combo feed. But to be considered a feed, you have to hit all of these certain nutrient levels, right? And just like with dog food or any other food for animals. But the problem is it's kind of like a minimum, like, we'll keep you alive. And that's good enough kind of thing. So
I'm familiar with this. We've had rabbits for many years now. I love my rabbits, but it used to be believed that a rabbit's lifespan was like 5 years max. Well, it turned out that's just because people were feeding them pellets. If you give them actual like fresh greens, they live 10, 12 years, you know, like their lifespan doubles. And so the same thing is happening here. It's like, yeah, they're getting calories, but they're just like eating exclusively the equivalent of McDonald's versus you're like, I looked at the ingredients in what you sell and it sounds delicious. I'm like, I should put this on pizza, right? It was like rosemary, garlic, oregano. You know, it sounded like Italian herbs, which, by the way, rabbits love Italian herbs.
Okay.
One of their favorites.
We do have a very common, customers have said this to us so many times, and it's so specific that it kills me. They say that it smells like you're at a spa next to a pizza parlor.
Okay, I was close with the pizza then.
Yes, because you've got all this like lavender and like rosemary is used a lot in like kind of spa and creams and things like that. Like, and so yeah, you've got this like spa smell, and then it's like throw in some garlic. It smells amazing. But the smell is, I mean, it's very sticky for people. They love, usually chicken coops smell like chicken poo. And so to have your chicken coop actually smell like you're at a spa next to a pizza parlor, like people love that. So you were asking though about like if you're feeding just regular pellets, like what are you doing wrong? And you know, we talked about your rabbits and this finding of like, oh wait, if you feed them actual food, hello, they can like
survive about better. Doubles.
So chickens are really interesting because they're so cheap. I mean, you can go to, you know, Tractor Supply and get a little baby chick for a dollar. Or whatever.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're so cheap, but they become pets. And so you've got this really weird balance of like I have a Royal Standard Poodle. He's enormous. He's like my baby. If he gets sick, like, am I going to pay and take him to the vet and have surgery and all that stuff? Like, yes, of course I am. If my $1 chicken and I have 15 of them, if one of them gets sick,
you're like, oh, sorry, buddy.
It's like
it's your time.
Really weird. Like, do I just kill this thing? What do I do with it? It's like a pet, but you don't spend $500 to take a chicken to a vet. Like, people don't do that. So the preventative side becomes really powerful because a lot of the things that are causing chickens to be ill and, you know, early mortality and all this stuff is very preventable. It's like parasites. Parasites is a super, super common issue with chickens, which makes sense. They're out there scratching around and reading, who knows what.
Going through your site, reading reviews, looking at what I could find, that seemed to be the top pain or problem that was getting solved here was parasites. Mm-hmm. And people saying that this really helps.
I mean, as soon as you see one picture online in like a chicken forum of an egg with a worm in it, you're ready for anything to prevent that.
Okay. Yeah, no, I could see that. That sounds like some nightmare fuel. Not
yeah, there's
it.
A lot of like chicken nightmare fuel. Like they get mites, which are kind of like ticks. Like they come, yeah. little tiny, tiny speckly things. They come out at night and suck the chicken's blood. And they get lice. And that looks very similar to human lice with like these big like egg sac things around the like base of their feathers. They get, worms.
It sounds like a lot of these backyard chickens are having a tough go of it.
Most chickens, like if they're being well cared for, this isn't going to be this like constant like issue that people are having. People get kind of scared of like starting having chickens because they see these like pictures where people post like, what is this noodle in my egg? And everybody's like, what? And it stops people from like wanting to take up their hobby. But it's, I don't think, you know, it's not as common as it feels like when you're seeing this in forums.
Right. Yeah. Forums always surface the worst. How do you approach education? Like, is this, I have the problem and then I Google it and I find you? You know, like we create SEO articles, blog articles about these various issues.
We do that. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
Strangely, one of our best ranking articles, which it's not strangely, I love keyword research. So I, you know, do assign out tasks to my copywriter based on like what people are asking. But "Do Chickens Have Sex" is our most popular blog post.
How do the eggs happen? What's going on here? You're right. It sounds like a dumb question, but I don't actually know the answer when I think about it.
There's a rooster kind of part that kisses the chicken part. There's not, you know.
I'm getting the birds and the bees talk. Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. You know why they call it Black Friday? It's when businesses finally dig out of the red and turn real profit. Want to squeeze every penny from your Black Friday sale? One ClickUp sale is the easiest money you'll make all season. OCU automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells at every step of your customer journey. Plus, there's a new tool built right in, Zipify Post Profit. Post Profit monetizes your thank you page with brand-safe ads from partners like Hulu, GoDaddy, and Disney+. Doesn't cost you anything. Just switch it on and get paid pure profit for every view automatically. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas, earn up to 30% more from every order all year long. Don't leave money on the table this holiday season. Go to Zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's Zipify.com/KURT. You were talking about blog articles and, you know, assigning stuff to a copywriter, which excellent. I love this. Do you have favorite keyword research tools? Are there SEO tools we like? Or is it just like, look, this is the trend. This is what people are asking me about right now. So clearly let's run with this.
So I used to be really deep into SEMrush.
Okay. SEMrush, I like it a lot.
I've kind of shifted a little bit over the last 6 months as ChatGPT's deep research has gotten better. And now I'll usually...
Deep research is where it like really makes stuff up.
Well, I have it go not creating the content. I have it research in forums what people are talking about during each month of the year.
That's smart. I think that's like the right way to use it.
Yes. And then I piggyback. Actually, at this point, I'm using Ubersuggest, Neil Patel's tool. Since I'm not doing really deep analytical like research, I feel like it's a easy, gentle tool. So after I pull all that data with deep research, then I will kind of put together what kind of keywords I feel like match the questions that people are asking, and then assign that to my copywriter. But you asked, though, the education part. And this is actually, when it comes to customer acquisition, this is huge for us because it is an unknown thing. It's a thing people... Like, yes, maybe they've heard that if you put red pepper flakes in your chicken's feet, it helps with deworming. But like, this is not a product that people, it's not like vitamin C, where everybody knows what it is. Everybody knows you should take it, whatever. So education has been huge for us. And that's the way that we have ran our marketing since day one, because we knew it was going to be this way. So back to the, like, we do the Russell Brunson kind of click funnels thing. We have a very long sales letter that is basically positioning all of these problems. Usually we do it seasonally. So like right now, chickens are losing all their feathers. It's called molting. So we do this great big long sales letter that's talking about molting and why it's natural, but also puts your chickens at risk because of the stress on the body. And then they're going to attract parasites because they're, you know, stressed out and their digestive system gets out of whack and they stop laying eggs. It's a whole thing. And so we use this education, not just about our product, but about the problem that the chickens are facing, and then present, hey, here is something to support your chicken while this natural thing is occurring. Here's how it helps. And so we've used, that is our acquisition mechanism. That's where we send all of our meta ad traffic goes to sales letters like that.
And then those you host, you use like a, probably I'm guessing like a landing page builder?
It's ClickFunnels.
It is ClickFunnels.
It's
all right, yeah.
Used to be ClickFunnels. ClickFunnels does not integrate with Shopify like at all. Funnelish, I mean, I know this is a Shopify podcast, so really important for people to know that there is a really great landing page builder that's like ClickFunnels, but is much more e-commerce focused and integrates really, really well with Shopify.
Yeah, I have not tried it, but good to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little clunky in parts, but we've done millions of dollars of sales in it. So it's been wonderful.
You know, I'm looking through your, I am in fact looking through your blog, and I could tell you, you have 66 articles and the blog, instead of being named news, bless you for this. The default is blog/news. Yours is backyard chicken how to's. There is no question as to what this is about. Mm-hmm. It is tutorials for backyard chickens, not for the chickens themselves, mind you. They can't read.
We found that making sure we put backyard chickens basically everywhere helps a lot with not accidentally ranking for recipes.
Well, and you have like dedicated landing pages for the ingredients. It's like, you know, pages/oregano, pages/basil. I went through your sitemap.
This is really, and those are kind of like not fully like lived. Like you could not go to our website and then navigate to those. Like if you were just a customer, they're kind of in construction mode right now, but it became an issue. We've had so many people kind of calling out, there's kind of like a battle between like natural things or like too woo-woo or like you have to either choose pharmaceuticals or like herbs and natural stuff. And so we get a lot of that like pushback and push and pull in our comments on our like on our ads where people are getting like, yeah, this is all like a bunch of baloney. Just, you know, buy medicine or whatever. And so we actually put together all the research that like around that. The world for all of these ingredients, which we utilized, you know, in the creation of this product to begin with, but we're making it in a kind of a more like digestible format where people
in the content where like you have you show your research, like you're like, hey, here's the receipts as to why we believe this and why we think it works. Do you cite sources?
I'm not actually building these myself. They are supposed to be at the bottom and clickable and all of that stuff, but.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is like supposedly, if you're trying to get more AI citations,
yes,
which I think, you know,
that was part of this plan as well, is to,
yeah, having, you know, in your long form articles, there's like a particular format that the AI tends to prefer, and it always ends with like, hey, here are footnotes, like we've got links back showing that this is not just, you know, an editorial.
Yeah, well, and that's, I really like to control our destiny as much as possible. I don't like organic social for the one reason that it's like, ooh, I really hope this one takes off and people get to know our brand. Like I would spend ungodly amounts of money on Meta ads if it's, you know, obviously converting. And same thing with like prepping our site in an SEO type way to be prepared for these LLMs to find us. And once they are fully, you know, integrating shopping and everything that we're solid, I will control that narrative as much as possible with like we will present ourselves as the authority all day long. That's the goal.
So with, all right, that brings me to my next topic. You have to present yourself as an authority, and you're already seeing pushback just on the fact where you're like, hey, there are all, you could start with alternatives to pharmaceuticals, right? By just using normal, healthy things that chickens enjoy. I don't think it's a crazy claim, but for some people, I guess it is. For some people, leaving crappy comments on Instagram posts is a sport.
It's a sport. And it's just like for fun.
Like those people weren't going to buy. They're just being jackasses.
Yeah.
But all right, anyway. So you still have to establish yourself as a trustworthy authority. And if you show up and go, hey, this is a thing we figured out because we're backyard chicken owners like you, that either is or isn't compelling because you're holding up the mirror to the person. But then I see you've also partnered with, vets or like animal nutritionists. Is that correct?
They are not like collaborative partners. They were part of the creation phase. Okay. There are actually, it's a certification to be an herbal veterinarian. So that's kind of a cool place for us that we connect with if we need like kind of some advice that way. But my favorite way of building the authority and the clout is actually letting the customers just speak.
How so?
Because the customers are they're experiencing the results, and I don't have.
How do we share that? I 100% agree with you that like that customer social proof is the best. What format does that take on the site?
Oh, this is a current thing I'm working on, because right now it's just written reviews and reviews on our ads. We notice a huge difference in like our conversion rate when one of our ads has like a lot of customer reviews in the comments. So we love seeing that. And then I have my customer service person having those people then come say the same thing on our website, leave the same review. And then we're actually now starting to personally reach out to each of the people that leave a positive review to do a video testimonial review as well, so that we can
impressive.
Create a big library that way. It's hard to always be implementing new things because there's so many hats and there's so many things that break.
Oh, yeah. There are a million and one things that you could do. So I was like, which one's actually going to move the needle?
Yeah. Right? I was trying to figure out how to like set up this like hierarchy of like staff and who's overseeing what as we're like building like our team a little bit bigger. And like I put like everything that I own, all the tasks that I own, even things that I'm like just doing approvals for, I put it all into like ChatGPT, and I was like, can you like organize this and help me like create like a hierarchy of what's happening? It's like, this is 12 full-time employees. I was like, oh, okay. Like little old me. There's 12 of us in here, I guess.
Earlier you talked about like, hey, use Meta ads to acquire the customers. And then we send them to Funnelish. So we have like dedicated long form landing pages. And or they come through organic SEO and then they go to a Shopify store and make a purchase. We've got what is interesting is a lot of your reviews specifically mention finding you through Meta ads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like that's unusual. And they're positive reviews, but they actually, they state like, oh yeah, this is how I found it. Yeah.
And they'll usually say something like, I was skeptical at first when I saw it on Meta.
Those are the best reviews and testimonials.
They're my favorite. I feel like I missed telling you something though about why we use Funnelish, because this is also kind of a like why, of course we could build a long form sales letter in Shopify, obviously. But what we can't do in Shopify is have a whole bunch of one-click upsells after they purchase. You can do like two.
You could use Zipify one-click upsell. We'll do it. There's apps that'll do it in Shopify.
We do about six upsells after they've purchased. Like one click.
Like upsell, downsell. Like, okay, like, hey, you add this. You want to really, like, you bought this product, add this. And then if they say yes, hey, well, you should also get this. Or if they say no, well, try mm-hmm. this. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. And with Zipify and with one-click upsell, you can do one post-purchase upsell and then a downsell or upsell after. It would cut our AOV down quite a bit if we implemented over that way. Right now, our AOV is we average over $100 for a $30 initial purchase.
That's really good. Are you saying like, hey, just buy two of them? Or these are like separate discrete products that you're adding on?
They're separate products. So we actually emulated a really interesting thing that, do you know Truly Free? They do like home, it's like laundry detergents. And I really love their products. They're so great. Like natural laundry detergents usually suck so bad, but theirs is really good. Anyway, I spend so much money with them because they have a wonderful post-purchase upsell system. And one of the things that they implemented that I was like, this is so smart, is they have a screen that just says, hey, thanks for your purchase. You've unlocked, four special deals that you're going to see one page at a time. If you want it, click yes. If you don't, just go to the next one. There's four. Don't miss any of them. And so you ensure that people go through your entire upsell, downsell funnel on the back end. And as soon as we implemented that, we noticed a like a pretty good boost in our AOV because nobody was dropping off till they got all the way through to the very, very last offer.
Well, you more than, it sounds like you tripled the AOV, which is extraordinary, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need any more traffic. I don't have to mess with my conversion rate, but revenue got triples.
Yeah. And so we've had a hard time like cutting off of this, you know, old school ClickFunnels kind of vibe of doing that because of how it makes it so we can just keep increasing our meta ads so high. Like we spend about $10,000 a day right now on our, on our meta ads. And it's profitable on the first acquisition. Like it is profitable from the immediate purchase. So we're not hoping that in 3 months, this person will come back and then we'll be profitable from this acquisition cost. We've also just added Fermat. Have you heard of Fermat?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
And so that's going to be, you know, the checkout is through Shopify on that one.
I'm used to pronouncing it with a Midwestern accent. Fermat.
Maybe that's how it's supposed to be. I don't know.
Just nail that A. I doubt it. So what does it do for you?
The downfall with our Funnelish acquisition is subscriptions go directly into Stripe rather than into Shopify. And so everything is like broken. And so we just don't do it. We just focus on that high AOV on the initial purchase and then worry about bringing people into a subscription through, you know, email flows through Klaviyo. But we want to start having ads running that are focused on that high AOV and then some that are also focused on getting people into that subscription. And so we're using Fermat, however we want to say it, to build those subscriptions. We're going to mimic the exact same long-form sales pages, but the offer will be for subscriptions instead of high AOV. So that's the plan.
Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. But yeah, no, you're smart to stick to letting the subscriptions be Shopify payment plans. Trying to migrate that stuff later is a pain. And it's, you know, difficult for the customer because now it's like, well, which of the two places where my subscription lives do I go edit it in?
For everybody. Customer service is like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no, life gets easier when it's like, just have everything live in one place.
Yes. Well,
you talked a lot about like some of the apps, integration and services you use. Any other favorites?
We really love Loop subscriptions.
Me too.
It's really great. Their customer service is so great. It's been really beneficial. And all the analytics, I was just joking yesterday. I was like, so much data, so little understanding of what most of it means.
Yeah, you and me both. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I have all this. Now, if only I knew what to do with it.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, look at these charts. They look positive.
Like, I'm going to go that line graph positive. Goes up and to the right.
Yeah, as long as the numbers look like they're green, there's green and arrows that are up, I'm happy.
Yeah, up and to the right. But it's fine. Like your reviews, in addition to being like, hey, I was skeptical and I saw a meta ad, another thing they mention a lot are subscriptions. So which is unusual, that people are just like in a review feel compelled to mention the fact that they subscribe.
I know.
Is there...
It's very surprising, but...
Is it the convenience of auto ship? Is it a discount? I mean, what... Like, so subscriptions are great, but what's your magic?
Here's what is happening. Our product is a one-to-one with a bag of chicken feed. For the most part, with like human supplements, it's like you don't really know when you're going to need them again. It's kind of just like when you run out, you just get some more. Maybe if it's like a, you know, 30-day thing, you'll hopefully need it again if you've been actually a good boy and taken your supplements every day, need them on the 30th day. But our chicken people, since they are mixing it directly into a bag of feed, they want that subscription so that they know that every time they open their bag of feed, they're going to have an entire pouch to dump in at once because it all goes together at one time.
That also, you know, that adds a lot of convenience. You know, if the product is difficult to use, people are less likely to adopt it. Whereas here, it's like, just dump it in.
We just dump it all in at once. And so it's really easy to like kind of set it and forget it. It has like really pushed us to need more retail distribution. We get a lot of customer engagement asking for it to be in like their local farm stores because grab your bag of feed, grab your bag of Huff Kluck,
pick up both.
On you go. Yep. It just makes so much sense. So we're in about 70 retail locations right now.
And that's very good.
Yeah, it's about where we could handle right now. I think if Tractor Supply called me tomorrow and was ready to, you know, put us in 2,000 stores all at once, it would cripple us for a second. So we're slowly building into that. But
And in addition to the retail stuff and your online, your Shopify store, you're also selling through Amazon and Chewy, I believe.
Yeah. And Chewy's a really cool one. Chewy's technically, that's like retail distribution. They're a wholesaler. They're not like Amazon. It's not a marketplace. They do have...
So they buy, they buy like a pallet from you and then they're selling it on their website.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And that's kind of a cool story because they reached out to us and invited us to be part of their catalog expansion into chickens as pets. They were putting a massive investment into the messaging of horses and chickens as pets and making sure that they beat PetSmart and Petco and other big pet retailers to realize that like actually people treat chickens as pets, not just livestock. And so we're going to start, you know, treating them the same as we do cats and dogs. Because it's the third most popular pet in America behind cats and dogs.
The interesting. Yeah, well, you know, I think the right person, you get attached to any animal. I met a man who was like deeply... knew all the names, personalities, and deeply loved his cattle, his cows. And they were just like, they were pets. Mm-hmm. Like I had like five cows as pets. But all right. Or having Amazon as a sales channel, a lot of online store owners have a mixed relationship with Amazon. How do you feel about it?
We have had five different businesses in the past that were destroyed by Amazon.
Oh, geez.
So... when we decided to actually like, all right, chicken spice is a go. It was kind of like, let's make sure that we can fully acquire our own customers and sustain a business without including anybody else, Amazon, Walmart, eBay, no other channels except for what we drum up for ourselves. And if we can do that, Amazon will be a cherry on top. And then they don't have any control, you know, if... they don't like a word we used in our listing instead of shutting us down for 6 months. You know, we don't care. We have control over our own destiny. So that was the goal. And that we did that. We did not launch on Amazon for probably maybe 6 months. It's probably like 6 months. We were already doing all of our own acquisition profitably. And then it was like, we had a friend who runs very successful. He has a agency for Amazon and he does a very good job. And so we were like, I guess we'll let you put this on Amazon.
And I assume it worked out.
Oh, yes. Yes. We do very well on Amazon. Our subscriptions on Amazon are probably doing about 200,000 a month in subscriptions on Amazon. And
I think that's enviable.
Yeah, for only being up there for maybe a year.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. So obviously, our Amazon takes a whole bunch of our traffic from our like meta ads, but I don't care. That's fine. Go on over there.
It seems like it's all profitable, which is what we want. So
my big fear with Amazon, though, and this I've been really grateful for this is. Our reviews on our website, it's kind of like we see people commenting on our social media and we'll say like, hey, you should go say this over on our, you know, go leave a review, say the same thing. So they're not fake reviews, but when we see people talking positively, we request that they go and share that. So my worry was like not having the control on Amazon of like, I can't just send my happy customers to Amazon because if they haven't purchased there, the review won't really show up anyway. It's going to have to just be like, oh, let the gods handle it. And so I've been really happy that the reviews and the response on Amazon has been equally positive as on our own channels.
Yeah, I mean, based on the reviews, it's the product works and people love it. So it sounds like the chickens do too. We're talking, you know, various marketing channels, Meta, Amazon, SEO, and word of mouth. Oh, which is the best? Which is your favorite?
I mean, my personal favorite, these are different. There's layers here. These aren't quick rapid fire questions. Because what I actually love, I love SEO. I love copywriting. I love the blog side of that. I like content marketing. But if I'm saying what's my favorite for like a successful business to be successful, I like the control of Meta and like, hey, once I figure out what's working, I can just keep putting more money in there and make more money come out.
So I think we're going to say favorite is SEO and content marketing, but best currently is Meta.
Yeah.
And that's how I heard that.
Yes. And then Amazon, since I don't actually do anything with it, since I chose to kind of wash my hands of it and I just have our agency handling it, I love Amazon because it feels like magic since I don't have to do anything with it.
Well, it is a business owner. That is, it's a gratifying feeling. So biggest operational headache for you? Is it, you know, fulfillment, inventory, customer service?
Inventory, always. Mostly because loose leaf herbs and botanicals are actually quite difficult to keep coming in a consistent manner. There's growing seasons that like there will be periods where literally the entire world doesn't seem to have a certain product. And since we're kind of in the scheme of things, we're like babies with this. Like this is like a new thing for me sourcing. We're literally sourcing 10 tons of a certain ingredient at a time. And I'm not familiar enough with all those growing seasons. We kind of keep finding ourselves in these like tight spots of like, nobody told me that no one in the world was going to be growing marigold for 2 months. Somebody needs to grow some more marigold. So I have a supply chain manager and he's amazing. And he's definitely working out all the kinks with this. But that's been our biggest issue is inventory. We basically sell out of everything. And then like, we'll have multiple days where we don't have any stuff to sell. And it's like, oh my gosh, I hope our manufacturer finishes this really quickly because we're in trouble. So it's been hard to scale up because we always are like pinched for inventory. But yeah, so operationally, always the issue.
They're
a great problem to have. I am not complaining about inventory issues.
It is. Yeah. It's like, you know, should be grateful you were able to sell out of it, but yeah, it could really be frustrating. There's a sneeze warning on your packaging, isn't there?
Oh yeah. We popped that right on the top there because our first iteration of our packaging did not have it. And we are told all the time, like, oh, that made me sneeze. That made me sneeze. I was coughing like crazy. How can somebody open this and even breathe? Because it's super powerful. It's like freshly dried herbs and there's red pepper in there and there's garlic. So it's very strong. And we're like, you know, we're not going to change the recipe to make it like more mild because we want all of that power in there. And
so the sneeze warning is honest labeling. It's genuine, but in some ways it is genius marketing.
It is us controlling the narrative that we are making a promise to you. When you open this bag, you are going to sneeze because these herbs are so, because it says, we have it say, sneeze alert, powerful herbs inside. So it's making this promise that like, you're going to open this bag and these herbs are so powerful and their health benefits are so strong for your chickens that you're not going to be able to breathe.
If you had to start Buff Clucks over and no one has ever heard of it, but you retain your current knowledge, what's the one thing you do differently?
You are going to love this answer. I would have built our Shopify store really, really, really well immediately. Because it is our Shopify store, since we don't send traffic directly to it, we're sending through Funnelish, the Shopify store is like, it's like the neglected child.
It lagged like behind the rest of the design.
We're like rolling this free theme where we like, it's like not even our own, it's like stock photography is in places. Like, it's not great. It needs a lot of love. So you probably love this answer, that if I would have done it differently from day one, that would have been immediately a really well done.
You know, at the same time, clearly you have in no way done it wrong. So that's good.
I'm a big
believer. All right, last question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
You've got a chicken supplement business. What's next? You know, keep going as is, expand to other, you know, animals, double down on chicken. Like, what's our thoughts?
Of course, there's always like this imaginary roadmap that I'm constantly thinking through. We are really wanting to do a product for ducks, because we get a lot of people asking for specifically a product for ducks. So then we can have buff ducks and buff clucks.
Okay. Well, if it rhymes, clearly it's going
right.
to work out.
Yeah. So we just have to, whatever rhymes with ducks, clucks, we'll just keep going with that.
All right, final question. If I have backyard chickens, or I need more chicken content in my life, where do I go? What do I do?
Well, you come to buffclucks.com and you don't judge the Shopify store too harshly, and you just get some herbs on there and maybe get a mask. So then when you open them, you don't sneeze.
I'm buying a bag for myself and I'm just huffing it. I just want just straight,
people
just
eat
that
it.
Herb explosion.
People eat it. We have people.
I was going to ask, yeah. But I'm like, no, it's too obvious.
I've had people tell me they've made kombucha with it. Don't ask. I didn't drink it. I have no idea how that turned out, but they made kombucha with it. People put it on their steaks. I've had people say they put it in their pasta. It's totally safe to do so, because all of our ingredients are like culinary grade. We have our main supplier is a tea supplier. And so it's like very high grade herbs and botanicals. And then all of our production happens in a food facility that does production for like some pretty big players, Trader Joe's. So food
so
safe.
I shouldn't, but realistically I could use this as seasoning.
You could. I do not vouch for how it tastes. It'll be weird.
Right. I'm not a chicken.
But if you
That's
eat
the
it,
issue.
You won't have any more worms. So if you're concerned about that.
I wasn't worried about it till right now. And on, you know, that note, I have to go get dewormed. Celia Hatch, Buff Clucks, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.